I told the Lord to raise you right now.
Yeah?
I want to know about you, too.
I do.
What you do? And I've been in these meetings.
What?
From time to time, and a few men are arguing. See what's up, too.
Okay.
No idea what they're going to be on the scene, one way or another. Proof stuff, me, others. And paraphernalia, and I'm seeing things going on all at the same time, and making it move the speed through.
How'd you do that?
Frost.
Your name is Frost?
My name is Alfred Frost.
Alfred Frost.
Besides, Alfred.
Yeah.
Is my name.
Yeah.
You're Becky.
Yeah.
Lord.
That's us.
Yep. That's my name for years. Yeah. That's the kind of way I have. But not as long as all that. I'll be coming several times lately and watching the way things are done. I was in myself an opportunity to have a few words with you and let you know a few tips, you know.
Can you give
us
a talk,
Mr. Bob? Oh, I don't know about giving a
talk. What do you do on that side, right? Mr. Frost.
The amelioration of Frost.
What's the amelioration?
Yes, where did Mr. Frost be directed to the
Okay. Someone else remember? I'm very active.
Very active?
I'm very active, I am.
Yeah.
I'm very well in the place. Very much as inclined. Not the one to do very much. But you want to try to help someone, of course you do what you can, but it's not always possible. Can't force anyone to say or do anything if they don't want to do it. You can try and impress them as best you can, but most people are very, I don't know, so caught up in their own daily lives and their ideas, and very few people know of this. When they do know, I don't think it makes all that much difference at all. I would have thought by now everyone would have understood, to some extent, their life after death. When people got these weird ideas, even the so-called religious people seem to be in a wiser or better hold. That's some funny ideas.
Did you know about it, Mr. Frost?
No, not really. But I've been on more people, I heard about it, but I never went into it now, thought there's probably a lot of nonsense anyway. I remember donkeys years ago in some Sunday paper, I think it was, or some paper, there was a whole series of articles about some clergyman had written about life after death. Someone called Owen, I think his name was, Cuban name he had. I didn't know whether to take it in or not, and I thought, well, do you think a man like that should know, and he wouldn't fool anyone, but it didn't seem so odd to me. But I wasn't terribly caught interested, but I was interested in the articles, but I didn't really know where to leave them. I'd make them much in the tail of it. Do you know Atfield?
Atfield?
I used to live in Atfield.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
A number of years I lived there in Arpenden. And moved about a little bit in my early years. I went to sea when I was a man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's many years ago now. Things have changed. It won't change.
Mr. Frost, when you did pass over, how did you, how were you affected? I mean?
Oh, I don't know. I was out in the garden, doing some bit of gardening, and feeling as light as rain I was. As happy day it was, I always like to get out in the garden and do a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember was feeling a bit giddy and that was it. And then my daughter, she came out of the garden to call me, the cup of tea, and she saw me lying on the path there. Of course, by that time I had dawned, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her, I stood there, and as it dawned on me almost immediately what had happened, and I had been told things that sometimes people don't realize they did, but I knew almost, well, instinctively, or whatever it is, I could see myself lying down on the path, and I saw my daughter come out, and she saw me lying there, she let out a yell, she dropped the cup, she also ran down, and of course by that time I was born, you see, but all that was said to, because I was living with my daughter, you see, my married daughter, my wife had passed over 7 years ago, and I remember only too well, just after my daughter surpassed me, my wife appeared to me, and she was all smiling, like a young girl, she looked a person, didn't even recognize her. That was the funny part about it. I suppose it was in my own mind, I'd always thought of her as an old lady, you see, and it took me quite a few, I suppose, minutes of time, I don't know how long it might have been, before I gathered my wits and realized who it was. Oh, was it due that day, I tell you. Of course, they come and carry me inside, and oh dear, and my son-in-law, he was there, he actually had been out, you see, and the daughter was all on her own. He was out somewhere, I think he'd gone to a match or something, I can't remember right. Of course, it was a proper to-do, and then they took me away, and I was in, there was a funeral, and I always remember my daughter coming out into the garden, and she picked some roses, and she put them on the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is going back a number of years now, before the war, this was.
Yeah.
And I was sort of all mixed up inside. I tried, of course, in my own way to let her know I was there, but she didn't understand. Nobody does, you know, that's the trouble. I think that's the worst part of dying, if you ask me, is the fact that people you love, you try to contact them, you try to tell them you're all right, try to cheer them up, and you're feeling so marvelous yourself, and there's all the people you love all upset, and you're dying to get to them, you might say, and cheer them up and make them know what's what, then it takes them to notice. It's a terrible thing. I think the worst part of dying for the people who died, what I'm saying, it is the state of the people left behind who don't know a thing. In spite of all the religion, they don't know anything, they don't teach anything, they don't prove anything. That's why, in a way, the spiritualists are the only bunch that try to do something. And then again, of course, a lot of the mediums have, well, I believe after the first few months, I went to various churches or places, you call them, where they meet, you know, but didn't have much success. I was hoping I might have got some sort of message in, but all that's frustrating, if you like, that is. Oh, and there again, one shouldn't say it. One should be grateful to the fact that our people who do know something and do try. And of course, there are good mediums. I've been coming here for the last few weeks, getting an eyeful, trying to get myself sorted out a bit, maybe, you know, being of some help.
Doing very well.
But I must say, it's all very interesting, and at the same time, it's still a bit odd speaking, isn't it?
Mr. Frost, what did you do after the funeral? Did your wife take you off somewhere?
Oh, dear. Yes, well, once the funeral was over, and it just seemed anything to hold on to. I mean, there was no more body there, you know, and tried not without that interest in the body, but I suppose to some extent, while I was still in a strange kind of way, linked with the body, well, perhaps not that too much, I think that was more, I was sort of linked with my daughter and the rest of the people, you know, family, not that well. They got my daughter when they left, of course. Mm-hmm. She'd got no children. And she always was a good girl. And I wanted to cheer her up. That was my main interest. And of course, it was useless. And my son-in-law was quite a decent fellow, but, well, I thought there was no point in staying hanging around. Anyway, we, my wife and me and maybe a lot of other people, of course, and just started to get out of the other ways. It's important to me. My wife taught me, brought me. I say she brought me, but I suppose the kind of way she did. Anyway, she seemed the one that's most responsible. But there were a lot of other people, of course, helping. And then we came together here, and I was very happy. And I live in, I suppose you would call it a, stupid to say a block of flats, because it's not a block of flats really in a way, but there's vast places, you know, so you could call them a kind of communal center, where hundreds and hundreds of people live, but everyone's so much in harmony, see, that doesn't matter if a lot of us prefer it, there are people who have their own little places and prefer it that way, I suppose, but I'm quite happy. I always was a good mixer. I always got on well with people. And I was never argumentative, so, but then of course there's no need for that. We're all so much in tune. And it's wonderful how we get together and all sorts of things one can do. And I'm still very fond of the garden, and there's a beautiful garden. Actually, it's like as if it's built, not in a square exactly, but in the center is a vast expanse of beautiful ground, flowers, there's fountains playing, and even children, these are children that recently passed over, that have come here, that are being cared for. There's a whole section devoted to children where they're cared for, and where there are perhaps no relations or parents in particular, over here, the children looked after by people who love children. My wife was always fond of children, and so she takes a section of the children. And then there are those who teach. There's big schools here, but they're not small in the same sense, I suppose, as you understand it. They have various methods of education, but this is their, again, not material education. It's a spiritual education, but there are aspects, I suppose, of material, inasmuch that they're taught about life, as was lived on earth, and history, and implications. But still very difficult to put into words. I don't think we can, you know. Wonderful countries, environments, and those lovely flowers everywhere. The children are very happy, play.
And you help
with the children yourself, do you? Well, I don't have a lot to do with the children really myself, because I'm fond of them. But very experts here, people who specialize, you know.
Do you do any special work yourself?
Well, this must sound stupid to you, but I was always very interested myself in carving. I always would have liked to be, well, I wasn't the kind of way a carpenter, but not professional. I always admired beautiful carving and would have liked to have been able to have made on earth furniture and things like that. So I take a great interest in that, and I do carving, and I make what it is furniture. You see, there's another thing I should mention. A lot of people just don't appreciate or realize that things are real, solid to us, just as everything is real. Well, and we have substances that grow, substances that we can use, and these things are solid. We can use those things, we can have tools for creating and helping to create things, carving in my case, you see. And it's something that gives me great pleasure. Some people seem to think that over here all you do is think and there it is. Well, that's just plain stupid. I know that in a strange kind of way this can happen under certain conditions. But once people think like that, I think it gives them a false idea. I think people should get the realization that this is a real world. Actually, of course, in a way, it's a world among many worlds on different levels. And that on each level of consciousness and life, that world for you is a reality, and that's a big, solid one. And there are substances, all manner of substances which are used and can be used for construction. There are people who have to design and build, and people who are quite happy using their hands. And I love to use mine in creating what I feel is something benefits, something of beauty, and I can use my own personality in it, you see, and express myself. And people think that all you do is just think, and there it is, they've got a shortcoming. Because believe me, I've been living for a short space of time in a purely mental world which has no foundation. A lot of people are going to be very disappointed, I think, if they think all they want is going to be automatically waiting for them. They find you have to work for it just the same. You have to do your share. It isn't just there because you want it, it's there because you made it possible. It's quite a different thing, you know. But I suppose people in your world, even the silver spirits, there's a lot of wishful thinking on that part, you know.
Has there been any higher place for the soul?
No, they don't have much. It's just because I'm content, although it's perfect to say I'm content. I don't feel any particular urge to go any further, as you call it. And I don't suppose I shall until such time as I've made it possible, even perhaps in an unconscious way. I think it's the truth, you know, to say that we progress so slowly that we're not altogether aware or conscious of that change. It's so too subtle. It's as if you go on for what I suppose would be a long time to you, I don't know, but years not being what they are with us as our view. But this business of people coming and talking in an iPhone-looking way, how highly progressed they are, I'm not suggesting that there's not truth in that, there are many great souls highly progressed. Of course, we've been here for centuries upon centuries and can expect them to progress anyway. But the average person, like myself, who's only been here a few years, we're in a condition or an environment which is best suited to us and which we are happy because it is obviously the right place for us to be. It's not some super duper kind of place and all very highfalutin and far removed. It's a world which in many senses is very like the earth. We have many of the things that you associate with earth, that is things that are essential or necessary or things that are natural. Of course, we don't need machinery as such. That's another thing. If a person creates, whether it's like me with my carving or in some other way, you don't have machines, you don't have factories. This is an individual thing, something part of oneself, an expression of oneself. And this is real to us as your things are to you. But this is individual. This is not business. We don't have big business, we don't have factories, machinery, we don't have buses and trams and trains. Those things are purely our material of your world. But we have methods of getting about. But then again, this is something which is within ourselves. When we understand ourselves a little better, so we lighten, as it were, ourselves in our conscious kind of way. And that which would have seemed perhaps difficult or heavy going is simplified, and there's no effort. You see, everything is within yourself. When people can understand that everything is within yourself as to what you are, what you will do, and what you'll become, then things become a little bit more understandable and more rational. Of course, there are, it's true to say, there are people who, because of the state of their mind, are in an environment not set very far removed from earth because they are holding themselves down by these material thoughts. And they do have many things that you associate with earth. But these are mere figments, you might say, of their own thoughts and imagination. And since thought is creative, more so here than even on your side, it can have a kind of state of being, if you like, in which you seem to be living, which really is a dream state of a kind. In fact, it's not really an awakening of the spirit at all. It's really a condition of life which you accustom yourself to by your thoughts, made possible by your thoughts. But this is a transition stage. This is, I suppose, what the Catholic school, purgatory or something, or limbo, or whatever you like. It's a sort of intermediary stage which can and does exist for some people. Indeed, I would say that in some cases this probably must be, but this is not a reality. This is a merging of your world consciousness. It's a sort of dreamlike quality state and being which affects in certain types of individuals who have been so materialistic in their outlook that they can't help themselves and are bleeding it, and other souls and higher spirits have to come and do a lot of work to get them out of that condition which they found themselves, really which they created themselves. You see, if only you could see that your world is as if there are varying degrees of life, interwoven or entwined with your world, where there's a weird mixture beginning almost, you might say, two worlds in one. That's where you get your hauntings from. That's where you get these souls who are close to earth in their mentality, that at certain times, under certain conditions, they become visible to people on your side who are probably not spiritualistic or any of that at all, but who do see there are moments of time when it is feasible under certain conditions for certain souls, earthbound souls, to become quite physical or visible. Indeed, if any people realize that the power of the mind is such that anything is possible, nothing is impossible to those who understand. But more, I'm beginning to realize more and more that the tremendous things which could be done and achieved, and even by people in your world, if only they be cooperative and turn their minds and get towards spirit. You see, that's the tragedy. The world's become more and more materialistic and less interested in things of the spirit and the mind, you know. The tragedies of the old world, what man's created by wrong thinking. Maybe with this terrible business, you know, with that young man that killed right there. There's a state of mind of the people that's brought it about. The conditions around that country are appalling. It's like a pool of, well, it was not a fact. We know this, and I'm going to tell you, as in the nature of a prophecy, there are going to be some pretty terrible things happening there before very long, and it's going to be almost like a revolt. I think that there's going to be so much going on that, well, I think there's going to be such upheavals in this country. It's terrible to think about, because the innocent will be the ones who suffer most. Force is the way, of course, in that. Oh, yes, the world's in a shifty state. I'm trying to get out of it. I was coming straight to the end of
time.
Anyway, it's nice to speak to you, Mr. George Wood and Mrs. Mitter Green.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.